Genesis chapter number 3, we're going to read the first 13 verses. And we're still going to be dealing with the family as I started last week, a little series that I was only going to do for a couple of weeks, but I felt that it was necessary to keep going on for a great period of time with this. And today we're going to be in Genesis chapter 3, read the first 13 verses. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the trees which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, again, we are grateful for this opportunity that you've allowed us to be here this morning. Lord, I thank you for the tremendous responsibility that you have allowed me to continue on in the footsteps of my Father. Lord, may I lead, may I guide according to your word, according to your will. May I seek your direction every single day of my life as you've allowed me to preach from this pulpit. Lord God, I pray for my family, and I'm not talking my blood family. I'm talking about my spiritual family that you have allowed me to be a part of. God, help me to be the help. Help me to be the encouragement. Help me to be the prayer warrior for them that I need to be for them. Lord, my blood family, I pray that as well, that you just grant me wisdom in areas as you have seen fit to bring me here. God, I thank you for showing me where I need to be. Lord, I left to start a church. I left to go help out another pastor. But God, you have called me back both times for such a time as this. And I thank you, Lord. Help us as we learn from your word today. And we ask it in your name. Amen. The attack on the family, that is the title this morning, the attack on the family. Last week, we looked at five habits that we should do for the family so that the family can grow closer to God. What you do with the messages are totally up to you. You can ignore them or you can choose to apply them in your life. And I'm going to be very frank with you because I have sat in the pew. I have been where you have been. And I've had messages given to me week after week, sometimes day after day, if you want to include school with devotions. And I have chosen sometimes to either take what was said and I've ignored it. And then there's times in my life where I applied those to my life. And let me tell you this before I go on. When I apply it to my life, it's more valuable to me than it is to ignore the Word of God. I initially said that we look at the family for a few weeks, but God has opened my eyes to some things that we as a church need to look at. There is a very good reason why this has come upon my mind these last few weeks. And that reason is this. Write this down, and I know I've said it many times, but I want you to write it down. Satan is out to destroy the family. Why? Because Satan is against the family of God. The family, as I said last week, is God-ordained, and Satan is against God. Therefore, he is out to destroy the family. Could we be in agreement with that this morning? This morning, I would like to deal with at least, I know you're going to say, oh great, you're giving us another number, but we're going to deal with at least 10 things that Satan is trying to attack on the family. And you're thinking, man, 10 things, Chad, it's already 12:30. How are you going to get through this list? Believe me, I'm not going to try and get through this whole list this week. I'm going to take my time with this. Okay? So please note the importance of guarding your heart. This can be used as a mechanism against the devil. Also, as I said, I'm not looking to deal with all 10 of these today, but I do think it's important to take our time with this. Why? Because I believe we need to allow God to speak through us and to work in us on this matter of protecting the family that God has called us to be a part of. And I'm not just talking about our blood family as we go home, but I'm talking about this spiritual family that God has allowed us to be a part of this morning. Please note that in this passage that we read, the family came under attack, and because the family came under attack, sin had crept into the life of Adam and Eve, and at that time, sin had ruined what God had created. God created a perfect world. He created a perfect garden. He created a perfect man and a perfect woman, but sin crept in and ruined that perfection. So as we continue to go on, let's be aware of these things. Why? This was all done because Satan was given a little hole to crawl through and approach this in this way by twisting the very word of God. Do you know that a mouse can get inside one of the smallest holes inside your home and then begin to infest it with other mice? And what happens with that? You got mice running all over the place. And what does that do to your house? It ruins it. Well, Satan did the same thing. Satan found a little hole that he can approach himself into. He began to crawl through that hole. And as he crawled through that hole, he began to twist the very words of God. Today, God's word is still being twisted. And people are interpreting the Bible to what they want it to mean. Not according to what God wants it to mean, but according to what they want it to mean in their life. For example, I know some who actually teach, and this might be appalling to you, but I know some who actually teach that Jesus drank hard liquor during the Last Supper. How do you know that? Because I actually sat in a service where the teacher actually preached that to the congregation. And I about flipped out of my seat and about walked out, but I wanted to continue to listen to what was going to take place. And I tell you what he did that day was completely twisted the word of God. Now, I'm going to stop here just for a little bit. My view and my conviction is going to be different than your view and conviction upon alcohol. Okay, I'm just going to leave it there at that because I'm not going to pass mine upon yours. So, sir, we will gasp at what I just said, but when it comes to other things that we don't agree with in Scripture, here's what we do. We turn a blind eye. I will never, ever apologize for preaching what is in the Word of God. If I begin to apologize for that, then something is wrong with me. Turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And I know that we're there in our Sunday school class this morning, but I'm going to turn back there again this morning. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And we will see something, hopefully that will open our eyes just a little bit. Man, this Bible is big. It seems like it takes eternity to get to where I need to go. But as I said earlier, I will never apologize for preaching what is in the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2. Let's read verse number 1 first. It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. This is why I will never, ever apologizing for preaching the truth of God's word. Why? Because we're to be instant in season, out of season. We're to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And I understand that is not always going to be popular. I understand those things. Why is this verse important to me? Because my dad, years ago, the very Bible that I just now retired from preaching out of, that I just do for my studying from here on out, the very Bible that my father gave me, he wrote these words in here from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2. It says, Chad, preach the word. Preach the word. Why? Because he never, ever wanted me to stray from the word of God. I know it's not always going to be popular, but it is what God wants any preacher to do, slash pastor, to preach the word. It's like coaching a team. What do you mean it's like coaching a team? A coach who sees his team going into a different direction from the one that he or she has taught them, what will they do? They will step in and begin to correct the situation. A few years ago, I had the privilege, along with Gary, to be able to start a volleyball program in our school. And by the way, it is still going. We enjoy doing what we're doing. I'm no longer really a part of the coaching part of that. I had to step away, but Gary's involved with that. Jalen's involved with that. And Grace is soon to be involved with that. And I remember as we begin to start this and begin to teach these young girls how to play volleyball. Matter of fact, they taught us more than we taught them. But I do know this, when they did not go in the direction that we were trying to teach them, here's what would take place. We as their coaches would step in and begin very carefully and very precisely begin to tell them, this is exactly what we don't want you to do. We want you to do it this way because we know this way is proper. So it's no different than coaching. A coach will never have all the correct answers, but he will do his best to make the team function better. Amen? I said amen just to see if your folks are listening this morning. I know it's taken me a while to build up to this point, but now we will shift our focus to the 10 ways that Satan attacks the family. Remember, I gave you 5 habits last week that I believe that we all should be performing in our homes to make us better believers. First of all, this is not part of my first point, but the family needs to be putting on the whole armor of God. Amen? We've dealt with this for the last several weeks. Matter of fact, we just ended the series this morning, and putting on the whole armor of God is beneficial for us. However, it is no secret that Satan will throw arrows at the family. So it's not just important for the husband to put on the armor of God. It's important for the wife to follow her husband and to put on the armor of God as well. And then if they were to have children, as the father puts it on and the mother puts it on, and then it's important for the children to put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because if the children don't put on the whole armor of God, what's going to take place? Satan's going to grab those arrows and he's going to throw those arrows at the children who are not protected by the whole armor of God. And so when those arrows begin to pierce the heart or begin to pierce the mind or even begin to pierce the feet or the belt of truth that the children doesn't have on, then Satan's going to have victory over their lives. So Satan begins to throw arrows at the family. Here's what took place in the garden. He disrupted a marriage. He disrupted a marriage, and he had a great influence. These are just some things here. He had a great influence that a brother killed a brother, and since that time, his target or his eye has been where? It's been upon the family. That's where it's been. I have proof of that. Look at our marriages today that are ending in divorce. Look at our children that are growing up sometimes without mothers and sometimes without fathers, being separated from their siblings because they get caught in the court system, and then they go to foster homes and then off to the orphanage and then being distributed out to be adopted by other family members. Satan is on the attack of destroying the family. Number one, he aims to destroy what God has created. He aims to destroy what God has created. Why? Because it's within his nature to do so. If God was to grant the devil, this is a thought, if God was to grant the devil permission to kill Job, you know what Job would have done? Job would have taken advantage of that situation, and Satan would have taken advantage of that situation, and Job would have been killed. So the armor of God is effective against his attacks. Why? Because he throws arrows, he throws darts daily at the family, including the body of Christ. You mean he throws arrows at the body of Christ? Yeah. Do you think Satan's happy this morning that we have gathered? Do you think Satan is happy with the fact that many of us probably went to bed early last night, we woke up this morning, had some time of prayer, had some time of reading God's Word, put on our Sunday's best, whatever our Sunday's best is, and we came in here and we took some time away from the world so that we can be underneath the teaching of God's Word? Satan is not happy with what's going on here. For example, I'm going to give you. Probably this morning, and I chuckle at this as I'm saying this, because I know this has happened to me. If I didn't say it didn't happen to me, I'd be a liar. But probably this morning, an argument could have taken place before church between a husband and a wife. Kids could have been unruly, could have been rebellious. Why? Purposely designed for us all to fall into. So that we would have a hatred towards each other, which is why we need to be very aware of the traps that he sets out for us. He is attacking the family. Why? Why is he attacking the family? Because God created it. And if God created it, Satan, the devil, is against what God created. He's against the family. And so he's going to do what he can to destroy the family. We'll continue to go on here. Where is Satan's aim at? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Where is Satan's aim at? Here's the answer. It's the weaker vessel. And as I said that word, many of you in here are thinking, oh, he's after the wife. That's not what I'm talking about here. I do know that the woman is the weaker vessel. I understand that. But I'm not talking about that here this morning. If it's the man, then it's the man. You mean the man could be a weaker vessel in the house? Yes, if the man is not following God's word, man is the weaker vessel in the house. And because of that, Satan's going to come in, and he's going to attack the man, and the man will probably get into that because the man's not in the Word of God, and because of that, the man is going to bring his family down. If it's the woman, then it's the woman. And I believe you know what I'm trying to get at here. Unfortunately, in our world, now the woman has become the stronger unit in the family. Why? Because the man has neglected his duties as a leader. Man doesn't seem like they want to follow God the way that they used to. You know, back in the early days, whatever the man said inside the family, and please understand, I'm not trying to be a male chauvinist's pick here. I'm not trying to portray that. But God created the man to lead his family. And where's a man to lead his family? A man is not to lead his family out into the world. A man is to lead his family closer to God. You know what my responsibility and what my main goal in life is now? Since I've been married for 28 years, and it took me almost 26 years to figure this out. But a year and a half ago, I had a gentleman come up to me and say, Chad, you know what your main job is as being a husband for your wife? I said, what is it? He says, your job is to make your wife holy before the Lord. And how am I going to make her holy before the Lord? I got to live it. I got to practice it. I got to be in submission to God. And I got to follow God every single day of my life. I got to put on the whole armor of God. Because when she sees that, guess what she's going to see? She's going to see a man who's committed to God. She's going to see a man who loves God. She's going to see a man who desires to have a relationship with God. And what's that going to do? That's going to be contagious towards her. And guess what? She's going to want those same things. But it's my job to make my wife holy before the Lord. Why? Because God has called me to be the leader of the house. It's my job to make my daughter holy before the Lord. Now, that responsibility is going to come to an end one of these days. You know, she is 19 years of age today. I gave you a little plug, Jalen, so you can get more money today. But that responsibility is going to be taken off for me as a young man's going to come in and begin to sweep her off of her feet and ask for her hand in marriage. And then once that takes place, guess whose responsibility it is then? It is that man's individual to make her holy before the Lord. In other words, he's going to have to pick up where I've left off to make her holy before the Lord. But however, I will take another sermon to deal with this particular subject. And all men said, amen, thank you so much. You just beat me up in these last 3 minutes. So men, stay tuned. But it's not done to browbeat the man. It's done to encourage the man. It is done because God has called a man to be the leader of the home. And men, we need to get back to that. We need to get back to men leading the home. According not to your ways, but according to how the Word of God designed it to be. The second attack is Satan wants to destroy the witness of our marriage. Turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. Ephesians chapter 5. And you might have said, Chad, I thought we're done with Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 6. I thought we're done with those things. No, we're not. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to read verses number 23 down through verse number 28. It says, For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. For what reason? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with a washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. The second attack is Satan wants to destroy the witness of our marriage. He is attacking the very vows that was made between a man and a woman. Paul tells us here that a marriage is a picture of the gospel. If the enemy destroys, write this down, put yourself in this, but I put myself in this, okay? And put your wife's name in this as well. If the enemy destroys my marriage, I can no longer model the gospel by loving my wife, Chris, as Christ loves the church. Did you guys catch that? Do I need to say that again? The marriage is a picture of the gospel. If I stood up here today and said that my marriage was perfect, I would be lying. And I know sometimes I create stories and I say some things and people think, man, you got a perfect marriage. No, we do not have a perfect marriage. Why? Because we are just like anyone else. We have our problems. But you know what? Even though we have our problems, I have such a tremendous love and respect for this woman that's right down in this front row. We have fights. We have arguments. And why do they happen? Because Satan is trying to destroy what God had put together. When I was at the age of 12 and I saw my wife for the very first time in my life, I knew then, I didn't know how it was going to take place, I didn't know where my life was going to take me at that point in time, but I saw this young lady at the age of 12 and I knew God had this woman for me. And ever since that time, Satan has tried to destroy that relationship. And my wife can sit here and look back at you and say, yes, I agree full-heartedly with Chad saying because Satan has worked on our marriage and he's tried to destroy those things. But thankfully, he has not been successful. It all happens because Satan's trying to destroy us. I have known many pastors, I've known many preachers, I've known many missionaries, I've known many evangelists. have their ministries ruined because they have allowed Satan to attack their marriage. You don't know this, but years ago, we were just at camp. We had a great time at camp. Matter of fact, it was one of the preachers that was there during his time that was used to get Jeff back to walking with God again. And I know Jeff will never forget his name. I know Jeff will never forget what took place that week. I remember that week, and I remember the phrase that week, and that phrase was, "Can you hear me now?" But little did we know that that man was struggling with having multiple affairs with women inside the church. And Satan began to attack this man, began to attack this family, and ruined his ministry. But at the same time, God was also to use that man to minister to this guy's heart and to change his life. Satan is on the attack. And he's on the attack today. Churches that have been gone without pastors. Churches that have been gone without laymen, deacons. Because they've allowed Satan to attack them. And doors have been closed on churches for good. You see the importance of trying to guard your heart against the attack of Satan. Why do things like this happen? I'm going to give you why it happens. Because of a hardened heart. Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 19. If you're still with me this morning, say amen. Amen. Matthew chapter number 19. Verse number 8, it says this. Verse number 7, first of all, says, "They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away?" Verse number 8, "He said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning," what's it say? "It was not so." Divorce took place because of hard hearts. But it wasn't so from the beginning, folks. Where does a hardened heart come from? Write this down. It comes from rebellion. I know that that might not be a popular statement, but it is the truth. It's why we walk away from God. Rebellious hearts turn into a hard heart. And then because of that, we fail to see where we are at fault in things, and then we try to put blame upon others. The arrows will come, and we will have to be on guard. Don't fall for the lies, don't fall for the deceits that he will launch at us. Be prepared. Begin to develop healthy habits for your marriage. I will assure you this, Satan isn't done attacking my marriage. Would you agree with me, Chris? He is not done attacking my marriage. He's not done attacking my daughter either. But the great thing about this is God is our protector. And he will see us through these life challenges. These are just two things that Satan is trying to attack. We have eight more that we will go over in these next few weeks. And I hope that this has been a tremendous blessing to you this morning. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And honestly, folks, I don't know if I should have an invitation, but maybe we should have a verse that's going to be played. And if God has spoken to your heart, I would encourage you to come forward to this altar. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, we know that Satan is on the attack. He's out for the family of God. He's out for the family that is serving God. And so he's out for our marriages. He's out for our children. And so, God, I pray that you would help us to be on guard. Help us to be aware of his silly little tactics and his traps that he tries to put out for us. God, if there's someone here this morning that needs to take care of business, Maybe it's just something I mentioned just a little bit. Maybe it's a lack of leadership in the home. Maybe it's a lack of praying for their spouse. God, I pray that in these next few moments, your will be done. We ask it in your name. Amen.